A reading from the book of Ruth, the first chapter. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb, that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Every family has their stories, and many families continue to tell the same stories for decades and decades and decades. In those oldest stories, the one about the grandparents or great-grandparents or farther back, in the old stories, we remember what distant relatives went through. We recall the difficult decisions that they had to make, whether for better or for worse. We relate how they endured, and we tell how God worked through them and how God worked for them in ways that still shape our lives today. This is one of those stories. It's Ruth's family story, which is David's family story, which is Jesus' family story, which is our family story as well. What you're going to hear tonight and in the following three Wednesdays is a story of ordinary people and mundane affairs, but they prove to be very important. It's a story of God's faithfulness to his people and to his promises, and it's the story of his people's faith in him, in the God who acts. And this is how it begins. In the days when the judges ruled. If you haven't read the book of Judges recently, it might be worth reading, but be prepared, because it was a time that was very, very dark. In those days, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah was faced with the question, should I stay or should I go? What to do? Bethlehem, the house of bread, the village where they lived, couldn't feed its people. Life is full of difficult decisions, like that one. And I find that in my own life, the most difficult decisions seem to be decisions that have no right answer. Sometimes every decision seems wrong. It's worth remembering that we don't justify ourselves before God by making a perfect decision or by being able to explain how the thing we decided was the perfect thing to be done. For Elimelech, it was this. Should a man stay in the land of promise with the inheritance God gave him when there's no food and his family may well starve? Or should he take refuge in a foreign land with pagan gods where they'll at least have daily bread? What would you have done? I don't know if this man chose the right thing or not, but he chose to go to the foreign land. He went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Maybe it was a good decision, maybe it was not, but I can tell you what happened next. I suspect they went to Moab thinking that they'd stay there for a short time. It turned out to be 10 years. 10 years of suffering that turned into a tragedy. The man, Elimelech, died. His wife, Naomi, and the two sons made the best of a tough situation. The sons married Moabite women, unbelievers, named Orpah and Ruth, and life went on for a little while until the two sons died, so that the woman, Naomi, was left without her sons and without her husband. Let me ask you, what's worse than losing your husband and all your children? I'll tell you what's worse. What's worse is losing them while living in a foreign land. Not only is Naomi bereft of her husband and her sons, but she's also living away from her people, living away from her homeland, a helpless widow beyond the age of childbearing, with a family line about to go extinct and an inheritance in the promised land that will be forfeited forever. So what does Naomi decide to do? She decides that it's time to go back to Bethlehem. You may wonder what there is in Bethlehem for her, and I would say there's not much, but there's even less in Moab. She had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people with mercy and had given them food, and she believed it. If she didn't know what she would eat or when she would eat it or where, she at least knew who would provide it. The Lord had visited his people. That's what led Naomi back. Faith in the God of Israel led her back to Bethlehem. And this is where the story takes its first surprising turn, with the daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. When Naomi says she's going to Bethlehem, Orpah and Ruth gather their belongings, pack their bags, and say, "We're coming with you." And Naomi says, "Not so fast." Naomi reminds them of what Bethlehem will mean for them. There's nothing, nothing at all for them in Bethlehem. So Naomi says, "Look, why would you come with me? I can't give you new husbands. I can't provide you with food. I can't give you anything. Stay in Moab. Remarry, have children, get on with life." and Orpah does. She weeps with her mother-in-law, she kisses her, and then she leaves. But not Ruth. Should Ruth stay in Moab, or should she go to Bethlehem? She goes. And this is why we're telling her story 3,000 years later. This is why Ruth is one of only two women to have an entire book of the Bible named after her. This is why, well, to get a little bit ahead of ourselves, this is why we have the Savior we have. Because Ruth sticks with Naomi. And to be honest, it doesn't make much sense what Ruth then does. It doesn't make much sense to her for her to go to Bethlehem, at least not in the way the world would look at things. There's no future in sticking with an old widow who has nothing. And here's the thing. Ruth didn't have to go with Naomi. She had other options. The easier road would have been to stay in Moab, possibly go back to her father's house, or to a brother's house, or to another husband's house, a new husband. But Ruth doesn't. She picks the harder road, the less certain and more dangerous road. And she does this going beyond the letter of the law. Certainly she owes respect to her mother-in-law, but she doesn't owe her mother-in-law this. It is in faith that Ruth goes to Bethlehem. It is out of love that Ruth goes to Bethlehem. And it is in faith and love that she makes this deep sacrifice. She gives up her own personal interest. She gives up what would probably be better for her to stick it out with Naomi, come what may. She gives up the gods of her homeland to stick with the God of Israel, to be numbered among his people, to be numbered among the covenant people. We can learn a lot from Ruth. We can learn a lot about faithfulness in our callings, about patience in our difficulties, about fidelity to our God. And listen to what Ruth tells Naomi, perhaps the greatest gem of this book. She says, "Don't urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." Ruth had become a believer in the true God. And when I hear those words, I want to respond in the same way and say to Ruth, "Your God will be my God. I want the God that you have, the God that you know." So these two women go to Bethlehem. They go with no husbands. They go with no children. When Naomi had first gone from Bethlehem to Moab 10 years before, think about what her life had been. A husband and two sons, and now she comes back empty-handed, with nothing. Her name means pleasant, but when Naomi shows up in Bethlehem and everyone greets her, she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," bitter, because what she had been taken from her. In fact, she's even a little stronger in what she says. She says that it is the Almighty, God himself, who has made her life empty and bitter and taken the things that she loves from her. I don't know that she says it in anger, maybe more like matter of fact. "When I left Bethlehem, the Lord had given me a husband and two sons, and by the time I returned, he had taken them away." It's a heartbreaking thing to see Naomi there. She doesn't know what she'll eat. She doesn't know what comes next. But she and Ruth do know the God of Israel, and they trust in him. And that's what we're going to see over the course of these four Wednesdays in Advent. As we read the story of Ruth, we will see the story of a God who works for his people, often behind the scenes, often through means, often in unexpected ways, who works in the lives of ordinary, everyday people to take care of them and to bring his Savior for us and for the world. Our Lord does play a central role in the book of Ruth, and there is nothing accidental that happens. And I wonder whether there is something for for Ruth and Naomi in Bethlehem. They had nothing when they returned. What will they find when they come back? And what will we find in Bethlehem with Naomi and Ruth? There's more to come in the days ahead, but one thing's for certain. They return to Bethlehem when it's the time of the barley harvest, which means whatever comes months or years later, they know that tomorrow they'll have food. There will be leftovers in the field for them to glean. And the Lord will provide daily bread for Naomi and for Ruth, even as he does for you, and maybe even more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting.